Advent, that wonderful penitential time of the church year, the time of the year where we anticipate Christ's second coming as we look at his first coming, both a time of fear and a time of joy. Fear as we wait for the end of the world, yet joy at the thoughts of salvation. However, the church sits confused during this time. The world has thrust us into Christmas and holiday cheer, business parties, office parties, and a sense of secular Christmas spirit invades our homes. The simple song continues. Advent. Children singing, cash registers ringing, parents screaming, what a wonderful time of year. Life is pretty darn good these days. Things are back to normal. Our kids are in school and involved in numerous activities. Seminary studies are starting to make a little more sense as you now know the meaning of the $10 words. You're able to parse verbs for exegetical class, and your hermeneutical principles are coming along nicely. The stock market is moving up, and your bank accounts are moving down. We sit and listen to sermons talking about the coming Christ as we prepare for his second coming, remembering him in the manger. We are told to pray. We are told to be patient. We are told to take comfort at the thoughts of our future. Christ will come and take us to our heavenly home. Oh, what a joy. A joy. Really? Really? Are you ready to leave this world? Leave your Tony lifestyle in Fort Wayne, Indiana? Leave your house, family, and friends and abandon it all for a place in heaven? I don't think so. Your sinful nature will not allow this comfort. In all honesty, who can sit here and say, "Here am I, Lord, take me"? You think you're too young for death? You have too much of life ahead of you. It wouldn't be fair or right for you to die at this stage of the life because you came to the seminary. Death at 30, too young. Death at 90, hate to tell you, you'll probably still think it's too young. When it comes down to it, you love life and you'll hold on to it as long as possible. You want that control. You want to know. You want to be the high and mighty. You love your house. You love your family and friends. Christmas parties, I mean Advent parties. Are you really ready for the coming Christ? To leave this place on earth to Abraham's bosom to carry you home? Oh yes, you have trials and tribulations. The checkbook doesn't bounce. The check doesn't make it to the bank in time and you're charged $15. However, this isn't the same thing. When you know someone is sick and dying, maybe a member of your future congregation or someone you know presently, you sorrow in their condition. You minister to them with the gospel as sin ravages their body. You give them comfort in heaven. And then you quietly thank God that death hasn't visited you. Several young Lutherans and assorted other Christians from a high school prayer group attended a gathering at a local community church. This was in the late 70s, where a recent graduate of Oral Roberts University proclaimed that the world was going to end in 1984. His argument was convincing, from the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, and pretty hard to refute, especially for a weekly catechized student. If his prediction would hold true, there would be no college, no marriage, no children in the future. Just after their freshman year in college, the world would end. No sense to dream about the future. It won't exist. Sorry to say, I was scared for months. Didn't really like the idea of my future. Here lies the crux of the situation. The Lord is coming. Who of us will not want to be granted some time to make his heart ready? Who of us will deny that this making ready will involve the most earnest self-examination? Raise the significance of the whole Advent season by including the final coming of Christ as judge at the trump of doom. And it becomes apparent why the church has designated Advent as a season of self-examination. It is this we are children, waiting for the newness of Christmas morn, sitting at the top of the stairs, thinking about all that waits for us below. Presents and goodies waiting for our inspection. Oh, the great anticipation that we all knew in our childhood. The problem is, for us, we must die before we can make the dash down the stairs. The second coming, Christ the God-man will appear visibly to all men at the same time in divine glory, and surrounded by his assisting angels to judge all the nations, both the living and the dead, the latter after their resurrection, to cast the unbelievers into eternal hellfire and to lead his saints to eternal glory, so that the church militant will move into eternity and be the church triumphant. Yet the church triumphant will first be stripped of everything she has, owns, or possesses as the church militant. Everything must go away. Everything must be sacrificed. Even our lives on earth must be lost to enter heaven. In Isaiah we read, "For peace to come, first one must be ground to the dust. For he brings down those who dwell on high. The lofty cities he lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He brings it down to the dust." And this is what sends us to the manger. This is what sends us to the mystery of the incarnation. For it is in the birth of Jesus that we see humility, the humility that we all will face. A simple stable, a simple stall, that is where our Lord was born. It is through this humble event, the birth of Jesus, that we obtain our humility. Humility that isn't born of our own will or our own actions, but humility born of Christ's birth. Humility that we find in the infant child of Bethlehem. Humility that we find in the font of rebirth through holy baptism. It is the same humility that we see through the manger, yet we can't see the manger without seeing the cross. It sits, looming on the horizon, even as the babe lies in the manger. Christ's death and resurrection, the place where we find ultimate hope, comfort, and peace. It is a foretaste that we find in the divine service, Christ's body and blood given for us. The people of this world, the people of the church, will ultimately lose everything. As the hymn of the Reformation clearly states, "Take these, our life, good fame, child, and wife." Yes, all these things will be gone. Like the little children on top of the staircase, the sinner made saint waits. It is through Christ that you are led from Advent to the treasures of Christmas, the treasures of heaven. The redeemed have a foretaste of the future, of the promised treasures of heaven. Font, altar, and book make up these foretastes. As we wait for the fine hour, we sing the great hymns of the season. This is a reflection of Advent, the days of Advent which have such power, hymns that form our thoughts. "Lo, he comes. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. O come, Emmanuel. Prepare the royal highway." And we recite very similar words with maybe a little deeper meaning. "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Dine with us, stay with us, for it is evening. Oh, blessed is he that came in God the Father's name." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.